You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
Well, well, well. Welcome to the Front Row Hoopcast. Or should I say, welcome back to the Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything Butler basketball. I am your host, Ari Castle. I'm joined by Brendan King. Marco Tomic will normally be here. He is not today. Brendan, how long has it been since we last did a Front Row Hoopcast episode?
Has it been 2 years?
I think it's been three, honestly.
That was my junior year. We're all graduates now, we're not degenerates anymore.
Give us the flashback of the Front Row Hoopcast for those who have never listened before.
Just a Butler basketball show where three dudes talk about whatever's happening in the most absurd way possible. I think you remember episode 22. You sang 22 by Taylor Swift.
I did. I'll have to include that clip somehow.
We have everything.
We do, but that is the past, Brendan. Because the last time we were together, I believe Chris Holtman had just been named the interim head coach at Butler. Mm-hmm. So a little bit has changed since then. But you ready to get right to it?
Let's do it, Ari.
All right. Since we were last together, as I said, Chris Holtman went to OSU. We brought in LaValle Jordan. I know it's not exactly relevant, but when the hire happened, Brendan, what was your immediate kind of thought on that?
I think Barry Collar did the best job possible. I mean, you're put in that situation where you lose a head coach that you thought was going to be here maybe for 10 years. It could have been a decade for Chris Holtman. And based off what he was doing, I think it very well could have been. You go to the Sweet 16, you're building off a team with a great recruiting class led by Kyle Young and Christian David, and it goes away. And I think Barry Collar did the best job that he possibly could in the situation that you had to protect the recruiting class and you had to get a guy that can continue what Chris Holtman was doing. I think LaValle Jordan was the best guy you could have found.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there when you said continue what Chris Holtman was doing. We know when looking for a new head coach at Butler, it needs to have a guy with Butler background, and the talent, you know, the potential list of coaches is a small talent pool if you want Butler connections.
There wasn't a lot out there. I mean, obviously, Thad Bata got fired from OSU. Mm-hmm. His daughter's actually a freshman.
That's what I heard.
I went to the Kennesaw State game, and he was sitting about four rows in front of me, so that was interesting. But you're right. Not a big talent pool. Jordan, a guy that's coming off his first year at Milwaukee, a great run at Michigan. I think Barry Collar hit it 100%. And even though maybe if you're not going to see the results in year one, you got to give this time. It might be, I'm not saying it's going to be as bad as the Brandon Miller year. But you remember any coach that comes in here, I think LaValle Jordan said it very well. He did a halftime segment in the game against Maryland in the game before. And, you know, I think it was Steve Lavin that asked him, you know, how do you continue it? And he just mentioned you got to continue the Butler way, but also you got to put your own spin on it. And sometimes that takes a little bit of time.
All right. We are three games in. The LaValle Jordan spin cycle has just begun. Brendan, I know it's a small sample size. We're 2-1. They looked good against Kennesaw State and Princeton. Real sloppy against Maryland. These three games, what have you thought so far of the LaValle Jordan kind of system?
I think the Princeton win is going to be very underrated as we go on. That's a team in the Ivy League that's going to play very well. I mean, you saw their size. Mm-hmm. I mean, half of their team was 6'10 or bigger. And to talk about the Maryland game, yeah, you had a tough game. Your stars were quiet. Tyler Wideman, I think that was the weakest game I've seen from him in a long time, maybe since his freshman year. But if a team's going to shoot 70% against you, you're not going to win too many of those games. Even the way that they shot. I think they shot okay. I think Keelan had a pretty good game. We'll talk about Paul Jorgensen a little bit later. You know, if you're going to win those games, you need guys like Paul, you need guys like Kamar, and you need guys like now the current freshman Aaron Thompson to really step up.
Yeah, we'll get into the individual players in a minute. That's a nice little segue there. My whole thing with LaValle Jordan and Butler specifically, the defensive intensity has looked good. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Maryland kind of shot the lights out. We were D'ing them up there. They had a couple of long threes that happened to go in, but you can't really blame Butler for that. We do have lapses, but I think for a first three games as a head coach at Butler, the defense has looked fine. Now, going on to those players like you mentioned, we've got kind of the surprise freshman here, Aaron Thompson. Coming into this season, you know, you expected Kyle Young, you expected Christian David to really come out.
R.I.P. Kyle Young.
That's true. Aaron Thompson has kind of stole the show a little bit, averaging around 9 points, 4.3 assists. Brendan, he's very anticipatory. Coach Jordan has said this too. He is in the right place at the right time on defense, which is tough for a freshman to do early.
I think his court vision is fantastic. I think you needed somebody come in this year and to not have the same, because it's never going to happen, but to have the court vision of Tyler Lewis. People criticize Tyler Lewis all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time, because either he couldn't make his threes or he couldn't drive the rim, but people weren't watching the game close enough. If you have Avery Woodson in the corner and you're on, if he's on the perimeter, he's going to find him in the corner one way or another, and Avery is probably going to make that three. You needed somebody to come in and possess the court vision, maybe 50% of what Tyler Lewis had, and three games in, Aaron Thompson's looking... I don't want to make this comparison fully, but you remember the way Kamar Baldwin played at the start last year?
He
hit that big shot against Northwestern to win. Aaron Thompson is playing like Kamar Baldwin last year without the jump shot.
That's a great point, because the only knock I have on Thompson right now is that he has no semblance of a jump shot. No. His free throws are not going in right now. For a guy who gets the line six times a game, you got to knock it down. But again,
it'll come.
Three games. I like what I see so far.
It'll come, and he's got a ton of time, and he's got a lot of good guys to learn from. I mean, if Keelan Martin could take him under his wing, because remember, when Keelan was a freshman, he wasn't making free throws either.
That's right.
He was awful at the line, and he figured it out.
I think, going back to kind of LaValle Jordan, he's known as this player developer. I think over these next 3 years, how Kamar and Aaron Thompson develop is really going to be a testament to how Coach Jordan is handling this team.
I think LaValle should bring both of them in his office and show him clips of Trey Burke and how he developed Trey.
That's not a bad idea. I like that. For
just look at the track record that he has.
Yeah.
And the guards that he developed
Absolutely.
At Michigan.
Nick Stauskas, you got Darius Morris, Trey Burke.
Yeah. Those are guys that hit free throws.
That's absolutely right. Moving on to more players, we mentioned Keelan Martin. I think Keelan this year has really put a focus on rebounding. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 9.7 rebounds per game, working on grabbing those. He's a scorer naturally, but Coach Jordan has said he wants him to be a rebounder, and thus far, he's delivered.
If you're going to have McDermott play the three and Martin play the four, obviously yes. And another thing that we're going to get to is the big men.
Yes.
But, you know, Keelan, I think he came into college at, what, 6'6"?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit scrawny. He's gotten big.
Yeah, he's got that Roosevelt Jones treatment.
Well, he's not 240 pounds.
Not yet.
But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to be 6'6", 6'7", something that I don't think Andrew Travis did very well when he was here, you got to go up and get boards.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on that. Let's kind of move on to the big men, like you said. Tyler Wyman, I agree, is kind of he may be the most important member of this team because he's really the only rim protector we have. Mm-hmm. I like Nate Fowler, but when he comes in, he's just not the defensive presence that Tyler is. And honestly, the big cat needs to stay in the game because you don't know what you're getting with Joey Brunk. Nate has a shot from the outside, but defensively, he looks lost sometimes.
He does. We talked about this. I think we talked about this last year when we were not doing the show.
Yes.
How he does look lost sometimes. I think Nate Fowler, you know, he's either on the line to being a guy like Andrew Smith,
yes,
the way he played, or a guy like Eric Fromm.
Ooh.
Who's he going to be? Because Eric Fromm, he played during my freshman year. That was your senior year.
Yes.
Fromm was able to hit threes, 6'8", big guy, and Brandon Miller needed him to play well. He got benched for Andrew Travis, a freshman. Is Nate Fowler going to be Andrew Smith by the time he's a senior, or Eric Fromm?
I think that is a great example of a ceiling and a floor for Nate Fowler. I think you kind of hit that one right on the head there. Now, I hear a lot of people on Twitter kind of ragging on Sean McDermott. I've got such a bromance with Sean McDermott. I love his game. I honestly think he could be a better player than Kellen Dunham one day.
No.
No, yes. I'll tell you, he's 6'7".
Why?
He's 6'7".
Okay.
Much more athletic than Kellen.
He's a stick.
Okay, again, he had like a staph infection and lost 100 pounds. He's gaining his weight back. But again, he can shoot from the outside. We've seen him get to the rim early this year. I think he can be a 3-and-D guy. Well, Kellen came in and shot the threes. He could not play defense. Sean has shown that
he
can
D.
He's played.
He looks lost on rotation half the time.
No. Sean McDermott is a very underrated defender. Yes, he is.
I disagree there.
He gets in the game because he starts because he can D people up. His threes need to start going in higher. I agree with that. But he is a very underrated defender. Watch the games closely.
I did.
Brendan,
did you watch the Maryland game?
Brendan,
half of those big threes that they hit, McDermott was the guy that was late.
Okay, a lot of those threes were just tough shots that they happened to go in. That's not a testament.
You still got to have a hand in their face.
There was a hand in their face. I'm telling you, this is what I don't get. Watch Sean McDermott play, you guys. He is a 3-and-D player, 6'7 athlete who can shoot and he can D people up. Chris Holtmann said when he came in he was the best on-ball defender. I don't think anything has changed.
We'll see. I'll watch closely, but that Maryland game, I wasn't impressed. I thought he looked lost in the rotation.
He had a career high. I think it's 17 points that game.
Right, yeah. But did it help him win the game?
It did not help us win the game.
No, but again, this is an interesting time to do this first show. I mean, three games in, you play a crappy Kennesaw team, you play a decent Princeton team, and then you get waxed by Maryland. It's an interesting time to do this first show.
In the couple of weeks after this Phil Knight tournament in Oregon, we are going to have a lot to talk about.
Did you see those jerseys?
Yes, tough as hell. I like them a lot. Butler has. I've never been a huge fan of Butler's jerseys, but I do
like them.
Now, there's been one thing that has concerned me thus far, and I think you alluded to it earlier, and that is Paul Jorgensen. Now, I think the problem is when he first, you know, decided to transfer to Butler, there were some people on the internet, I'm not going to name names, who kind of like led you to believe he was going to be this offensive weapon, this powerhouse. And I was looking at his stats. He has a career average of 4.3 points per game at George Washington. What in those statistics told you that he was going to be an offensive weapon? I've heard him referred to as the microwave. What the hell are you talking about? He's out there thinking he's Rodney Clark when he's just not. 7.7 points per game, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, 38% from the field. I have no problem with a dude who has confidence and can shoot, but you got to make more than you miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. You know what? Here's the thing. I like his game.
What?
Yeah.
What about his game do you like?
The fact that he can hit a 3 anywhere. You needed... Hold on. You needed... Again, there's a lot of replacement this year. You think about who you lost last year. Keith and Savage, Avery Woodson,
Tyler Lewis,
okay? Avery Woodson was the 3 guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was his game. You didn't see Avery a lot go to the bucket. He could shoot free throws. I agree with you in the fact that if Jorgensen's going to be the starting point guard, he's got to be better than just a 3 guy making however many percent. Do you know the percent?
I think it's like 25%
okay,
right now.
Okay, in 3 games. But I do agree in the fact that if he's going to be the starting point guard, he's got to be more than that. But, you know, which I think this is going to happen. If Aaron Thompson does end up starting.
Absolutely.
Jorgensen could be the Avery Woodson.
And not start, though. You need to have Kamara and Avery.
No. Kamara
and Aaron up top.
And Aaron, yeah.
Okay, I agree. But I just...
But you got to put him in the starting lineup right now.
Why?
Are you going to start Thompson right off the bat?
At this point, I don't know how you can't. Jorgensen has shown you nothing.
No, I'm not looking forward. I mean, in the first 3, would you start Thompson?
Over Jorgensen, yes.
In the first 3 games?
Okay. 3 games of... No.
The 3 games that have
happened. Because he's never played before.
Yes. No,
okay,
that's what I'm saying.
We're 3 games in. Now I say yes because Jorgensen has shown
you
nothing.
There you go.
But to say he can hit a 3 from anywhere, where has that evidence been presented?
I thought he was great in the Princeton game.
4.3 points per game at George Washington. This guy has never been a big-time scorer. He needs to understand his role here. He can't be dribbling up the court, not make a pass, and pull up for an 18-foot jumper. That's not how Butler works.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. But like we just talked about, you start him in these first 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Lavelle, you would never put out a freshman that can't shoot.
Yes.
In the first 3 games.
Okay, fair
okay?
enough.
But going forward, we'll see. But if Jorgensen can develop into the Avery Woodson sixth man, seventh man, that can hit a 3 and get you back in a game,
okay,
that's why
I will
like
agree
it.
With you there. Last thing we want to talk about, Brendan, is the recruiting trail. Butler's got one commit for 2018, Marquise Hastings. Lavelle has shown that he's got a nice little talent for finding under-the-radar recruits, but he doesn't get the coffee because coffee's for closers. He has not been able to close out the Jackson Hayes. Morris Udeze, Miller Kopp have all gone elsewhere. I like that he's able to find these guys, but you gotta get him committed.
Well, before I mention that, I am so mad that Holtmann could not lock up Aaron Gordon, and he went to Seton Hall. Think about how much they could have...
Are you serious right now?
What's
Aaron Gordon doing at Seton Hall right now? I think he averaged 0.1 points per game last year.
Did you watch the Seton Hall Indiana game?
I didn't actually check it out.
He was very
good.
Did he hoop?
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Fine. That's one. Whatever. Fine. I can live without him, though.
Fine. Anyway, I wanted to clear that.
Yeah,
he looked very good in that Seton Hall IU game.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
I think Jordan's track record gives a lot of positivity. And that Hastings kid, I watched his tape.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I felt like he was kind of like the fifth option, though. Like, we missed.
I just hope he, you know, as long as he's not a Jackson Davis, that's cool with me.
I think this 2018 class isn't going to be something. I think 2019 is where he needs to really hit a home run. Because Holtman and company were killing it on the recruiting trail. Jordan's got to pick up where Holtman left off.
Yep.
All right, Brendan, we got Furman, I believe, and then the
return of Tyler Lewis.
That's right. I expect us to win that game. Let's just do a really quick, the PK80 tournament. We go up against Texas the first game. We've got to win that first game. If we lose, we're going to end up playing Portland State.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go backwards. We can't not go backwards. We got to win that first game and end up for a chance to play Duke.
That'd be a lot. That'd be really, really cool if they could do that. But I'll tell you what, I haven't watched a lot of Mo Bamba. But just about what you've heard about him. I mean, remember, they played Texas in the first round of the tournament a couple years
ago.
Yes. And Tyler Wyman was able to...
Miles Turner got shut down.
He got exposed. So I'm not saying they're the same player.
No.
I haven't seen a lot of Texas in Shaka Smart. Obviously, it's probably going to be more up-tempo, Texas from what we saw from those Miles Turner days. But if they somehow win that game, they go on to play Duke.
Can you imagine if we end up playing Ohio State in the PK80?
Wow. That's is that a possibility?
It is. If we lose all of our games and Ohio State loses all their games, we would play them. So that should be fun. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for episode one. Brendan King, the man, the myth, the legend. I am Ari Castle. IU sucks. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.